Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? It's hump day. That's right, Wednesday, May 15th, 2019. Thank you so much for allowing current sports to be a part of your weekday afternoon yet again. And wow, is it yet another beautiful day here in mid-Michigan. I mean, back-to-back gorgeous days like this? Maybe it's a sign of consistent things to come weather-wise here in mid-Michigan. Right? Sun is out, a few clouds in the sky, but, you know, the sun is out. Absolutely gorgeous, you know, from 65 to 70 degrees. This is what we've been waiting on. All right. And hopefully we can bring some more sunshine to your Wednesday afternoon with another great edition of WKAR's Current Sports. That's right. I am your host, Al Martin. A lot to get to. Again, and we continue to take your calls, read your comments on, of course, the passing of Earl Robinson, longtime sports broadcaster here at WKAR for 39 years. We paid tribute to him the entire hour on Monday. We had a few of you weigh in on Tuesday. We'll continue to do that throughout the week. And we encourage you to call in. Our phone lines are open, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also comment at facebook.com/WKAR News. Tweet us. Tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. And later on this hour, I don't want to let the cat out the bag just yet because I want it to be a surprise. We'll have a surprise guest that hopefully, I'm crossing my fingers, hopefully we'll be picking up the phone when we call him around 1:30 to usher in segment B. We'll have a special guest that hopefully will share thoughts and memories on the late, great Earl Robinson. So you don't want to miss that, okay? But to start the show, we will be talking about the madness that ensued last night in Chicago at the NBA draft lottery, which took place about 30 minutes before tip time of game one of the NBA's Western Conference Finals between the Golden State Warriors and the Houston Rockets. Really, the game was boring, if you ask me. I don't know if it was just me, but, you know, Portland really, they did cut it down a few times to single digits, but the Warriors were pretty much in command from start to finish in that game, and I found myself sitting on the couch kind of nodding off and dozing off. Can't even lie to you. In the third quarter, I was just sitting there. You get into that mode where you're like, okay, I'm kind of tired right now. This game isn't keeping me up. I'll just rest my eyes during the commercial break. No. That when you try to do that and trying to wake up sporadically to watch the game action, yeah, you're most likely going to just sleep through the game. And that's what happened to me in the third quarter. So, that really wasn't the talk of the town in the NBA world. What happened in the NBA draft lottery was so interesting, and no one expected this team to earn to get the number one overall pick come this summer's NBA draft. We'll discuss all things NBA draft, and we will discuss the sweepstakes for Zion Williamson from Duke. All right? And then on the back end of the show, I just want to touch on the PGA Championship, my man, Tiger Woods, y'all. That's right, Tiger Woods, Eldrick, getting ready to do work, hopefully, at the PGA Championship at Bethpage Black. He's been warming up. He's got his yacht out there in NYC. That yacht has been there, that 20-plus million-dollar yacht, by the way. It's like a small mansion. That yacht has been docked since last week, and Tiger's been warming up and taking practice rounds, and he's on the driving range all this week. So I want to comment on the PGA Championship and the chances of Tiger pulling this thing out this week, okay? All of that and more. Again, our phone lines are open. We will continue to honor the legacy that is the late, great Earl Robinson. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Again, go to facebook.com/WKAR News and comment below the New Look live stream. And you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. You know what's next? Here are your... Whoa. Hold on. Pause real quick. I always do this anytime a member of the current sports team has a birthday. Either I find out after the show that they do, or I know it's their birthday and I somehow, some way forget because I get caught up in the magic of sports talk radio, okay? But before I proceed to give you what you need, still a line from the great P. Diddy, I want to go beyond the glass right now, and I want to just say happy birthday to Alec Rio, one member of the three-man current sports engineering team. Alec, happy birthday, my man.
Thank you so much, man. It's just a blessing to be alive for another year, and I'm just excited to what future endeavors I have in this next year.
And I would not have known it was Alec's birthday. I may need to just, like, ask you guys beforehand in the future with my future engineers, hey, when's your birthday? So I can put it in my calendar to get a reminder. But I wouldn't have known if you didn't tell me when I came behind the glass to talk about today's show. And you said, hey, man, it's my birthday. You know, it's a pretty cool birthday present because today's guest is pretty big, hopefully. Again, I don't want to get my hopes up, all right? But I think we got him. But you were like, oh, man, this is a pretty cool birthday gift, today's guest. So happy birthday, Alec. How old
appreciate
are you turning?
To 22.
22 to make all of my seasoned listeners out there feel a little old today. 22 years young. Happy birthday, Alec Rio.
Thank you.
You know what's next here are your quick hit headliners. We start here. Former Michigan State women's basketball forward Sydney Cooks announced on Twitter that she is joining the Mississippi State Bulldogs, one of the blue bloods in the world of women's college basketball. Cooks, who will sit out the upcoming season, of course, due to NCAA transfer rules, averaged 9.5 points, 4.5 rebounds per game as a sophomore Spartan. The 6'4" Cooks was efficient in doing so, as she only played 19.4 minutes per game and made 48% of her shots. Cooks' last appearance in a Michigan State uni was a 17-point performance in a loss to Notre Dame in the second round of the NCAA tourney. She scored a career-high 21 points against Central Michigan in the first round of the tournament. So, Sydney Cooks, much of the surprise of many, deciding to transfer from Michigan State, she lands at a pretty good program with the Mississippi State Bulldogs. I'll have more on that story if we have time later on this hour. All right, dollar bill, y'all. Yeah, that's what Kari Willis will be saying on his way to the bank as he formally signed his entry-level NFL contract. The former Michigan State captain. There were some doubts about Willis's coverage skills heading into the NFL draft, but experts like Mel Kiper Jr. of ESPN raved about him and said that he could be even be a second-round pick, I should say. The Indianapolis Colts selected him number 109 overall in the fourth round and they officially signed him to his rookie contract yesterday, making him the 7th of the 10 draft picks by Indy to reach a deal. Now, contract details are not immediately available when it comes to how much Kari signed for, but under the NFL's rookie wage scale, his four-year deal is expected to be worth around like $3.2 mil with a $768,000 signing bonus. And yeah, we'll see. We'll let you know when that goes official. But that's what the projections look like to give you kind of an idea as to how much he signed for. So Indy really likes what Willis brings to the table, and they feel he can help the growth of the Colts secondary and become a leader on and off the field. That's awesome stuff. I really enjoy covering Kari as a Spartan and even dating back to his time as a high school football player here locally in the mid-Michigan area. So deserving, man. Live it up, kid. Looking forward to watching him on NFL Sundays. All right, after taking two of the three games against Iowa on the road, the Michigan State baseball team made the trip to Mount Pleasant, but the outcome of the game was certainly the opposite of pleasant. Going down to the Chips of Central Michigan, 10-2 your final. The Chips posted combined eight runs in the 6th and 7th innings to come out on top for MSU. Marty Pacina and Justin Antichich were the only form of offense on the scoreboard, tallying an RBI apiece. Their next series against Illinois will take place this Thursday through Saturday as the Spartans finish out the regular season at McLean Stadium. All right, the Michigan State men's golf team stands in a tie for 10th. After two rounds of play in the NCAA Pullman Regional, the Spartans shot 3 over par, 283 in yesterday's second round at Palouse Ridge Golf Club and are 4 under par, a 556 overall. MSU will head into Wednesday's final round, 8 shots out of 5th place. Texas A&M, the region's number 4 seed, remains atop the leaderboard. Oklahoma, Georgia Tech, BYU, and Colorado State round out the current top five. Now, the top five teams and the top individual, not from one of the five qualifying teams, will advance to the NCAA Finals, which will happen May 24th to the 29th. Okay, Michigan State hockey head coach Danton Cole announced yesterday that the Spartans have signed Jagger Joshua to a national letter of intent. Now, Joshua will join previously signed recruits Nicholas Muller and Josh Nadler of the Spartan roster for 2019-2020. He has played the last two seasons for the Muskegon Lumberjacks of the USHL. Had 27 points, including 10 goals, 17 assists, and 53 regular season games for Muskegon this past year. His 4-game winning goals were second most on the team. Also had 4 power play goals, which tied for 4th on the team, tied for the team lead in goals in the playoffs with 4 in 8 games. So he's definitely got the moves like Jagger on the ice, at least. Shout out to Alec Rio for that line. I like that a lot. So again, Jagger Joshua signing with Michigan State Hockey. All right, the Houston Astros went on an offensive rampage, getting at least a run in all but 2 innings as they just put a whooping on the Detroit Tigers. 11-4 your final at Comerica Park. Carlos Correa and Aldemias Diaz each got 3 RBIs for Houston in the win. For the Tigers, Ronnie Rodriguez is on a tear of his own, adding 3 RBIs on an already impressive season. The Tigers are now 18-22 on the year and are back in action tonight at 7:10 p.m. And tonight is when the Tigers will face off against Detroit Tigers great, former Detroit Tigers great, Justin Verlander, now with, of course, Houston. We'll see how that one pans out. Okay, Vlad Guerrero Jr., the former Lansing Lugnut, right? Guerrero homered twice to become the 3rd youngest player to hit his first 2 major league homers in the same game. And the Toronto Blue Jays beat the San Francisco Giants 7-3 last night. Guerrero, who finished with 3 hits and 4 ribbies, became the youngest in franchise history to go deep as the Blue Jays won the opener of a 6-game trip after losing 5 of 6 on a homestand in which they totaled 8 runs. Of course, we covered Vlad when he was donning a Lansing Lugnuts jersey 2 seasons ago, and we pretty much knew that he was going to be a young phenom once he did get called up to the majors, and last night he certainly looked like pops. Awesome stuff. Actually, this is what Guerrero said of his father through a translator yesterday. Quote, he just said like he always told me, don't look for home runs. They are going to come. I'm going to give both balls and the bat to my dad. I'm going to keep using everything that I use today except the bat that I really want to give to my dad. Awesome stuff. Gotta love that father and son connection there. Yeah, his dad was a joy to watch in the majors, wasn't he? Okay, rounding out the top five of the NBA draft lottery. How crazy was this last night, folks? Memphis Grizzlies, New York Knicks, LA Lakers, Cleveland Cavaliers. Knicks fans did not get the number one pick they were hoping for. Number three, solid landing spot. The Lakers, they made a big leap. They were the number 11 in the number 11 slot heading into the lottery and had just a 9.4% chance of jumping into the top four, but that's exactly where they landed at when it comes to number four. The big loser here, Phoenix Suns, who had the second worst record in the regular season and a 14% chance of the number one overall pick, but fell all the way to number six. They did have the number one pick last year. DeAndre Ayton was chosen, of course, so perhaps they used up all their luck in the lottery last year. But as we saw, the New Orleans Pelicans, can you believe that? The Pelicans, they are the team that ended up the big winner last night in the sweepstakes for Zion Williamson. More on that in just a moment. And as I mentioned at the top of the hour, the Golden State Warriors without Kevin Durant doing just fine as they cruised past the Portland Trail Blazers in game one of the Western Conference Finals, taking a 1-0 series lead, 116-94. Your final, Steph Curry was absolutely brilliant. He actually drained, what, 2 3-pointers in the last minute to boost the Warriors' advantage to 9. And that was really the key turning point. Klay Thompson also went off in that second half. Steph Curry, when it comes to his stat line, he had 36 points on 9 3-pointers. Oh, yeah, all that talk about Steph struggling throughout the playoffs, no, that's out the window. It's like he just flipped on the switch, understood that KD's out, I need to raise my game, and that's exactly what he did and is doing. Damian Lillard and C.J. McCollum for the Trailblazers, they combined for 36 points. So game two, that will take place tomorrow at 9 p.m. at Roracle Arena in Oakland, California. And the Boston Bruins continue their amazing Stanley Cup run as they beat the Carolina Hurricanes once again, the once hot Hurricanes, right? 2-1 your final as the Bruins now go up 3-0 in that series. All of the scoring happened in the second period as Brad Marchand and Chris Wagner score both goals for Boston. Next game takes place in North Carolina tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Okay, that does it for your quick hit headliners. Again, phone lines are open. Want to hear from you guys. 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527. How shocked are you that the New Orleans Pelicans ended up taking the number one spot in last night's NBA draft lottery? And what's your outlook when it comes to Zion Williamson going to NOLA? We all know that they're going to take Zion Williamson. Come on now. He is, I believe, a transcendent player. He's one of those guys you look at, and he's like a once-in-a-generation type guy. He will be the number one overall pick. I want to get your thoughts on that. And do you like the new NBA draft lottery format? So we'll get thoughts from you. You're going to get my thoughts in just a moment. Here we go.
Pick goes to the New York Knicks. The second pick will be made by the Memphis Grizzlies, and that means that the number one pick in the 2019 NBA draft goes to the New Orleans Pelicans.
Wow.
Yes, wow, indeed. As you heard Rachel Nichols on the broadcast, she was the anchor for last night's NBA draft lottery out in Chicago, Illinois, alongside like Jay Williams. Man, who else was on that? Did you watch the lottery? Who else was on that broadcast? Alec, I can't even remember. He's shaking his head. You didn't watch it. Forget the others who were on that broadcast. Jay Billis. Jay Billis was there as well. How do I forget Jay Billis? My goodness. He was actually like taking selfies with some of the players who were in attendance. And by the way, I think that's the first time that I've seen players who are draft prospects in the building with suits on for the NBA draft lottery. I don't think I've ever seen that. I think that's the first time that the NBA has done that. They realized that, you know, Zion Williamson is probably the biggest prospect. Well, he is. Not probably. He is the biggest prospect in basketball since LeBron James. So they milked the heck out of that thing last night, didn't they? I mean, you know, I tweeted last night, you know, okay, we get it, ESPN. I should have, like, started a count as to how many times I heard the name Zion Williamson throughout that 30 minutes of the NBA draft lottery. I mean, it was crazy. It was crazy. At one point, they had Zion and R.J. Barrett join the broadcast and talk about, you know, the draft lottery and what they can bring to the table. And, of course, Zion was very smart when he was asked, you know, which team he would, you know, want to go to and blah, blah, blah. He wasn't going to answer that question. He's just grateful to be drafted and in this position as a prospect in the NBA draft come this summer. All right. So, you know, that was a bit different. I can't remember a draft lottery where you had prospects in the building watching it and with cameras in their face. Now, the way I would like it, if there was any modification, it was great drama, great TV last night. But if there was any modification I would bring to the table for the NBA draft lottery, something I would propose, I would like to see, just like every night, you know, when you go, you know, up the street to your local store and you purchase that Powerball ticket, you know, or that four-digit lottery number, you know, I would like to see, like, the actual ping pong balls in the huge, I don't know, what do you call that thing, spherical turn style thing. I don't know what you call it. I did a horrible job describing that. But you know what I'm talking about. When this is how it happens. You put all these ping pong balls in there with, you know, team logos on them, and you do it live. You know, you do it live. And you turn it, and then all of a sudden, okay, let's start with the 14th pick in the NBA draft. Oh, you know, it goes to the Memphis Grizzlies or whoever it is, right? Wouldn't that be more awesome instead of just watching some guy in a suit just grab an envelope and just open it up? And with the 10th pick, I would like to see the drama of the ping pong balls just going around and around. That's just me, though. Other than that, I enjoyed it. It was great drama. It was great television. And there are a few things I want to talk about here. First off, let me just lay out the odds. For those who did not watch last night's NBA draft lottery, these are what the odds look like. New York and Cleveland and Phoenix, excuse me, all three, New York, Cleveland, and Phoenix, had the same amount of odds of landing the number one pick at 14%. Then Chicago at 12.5, Atlanta at 10.5, Washington at 9. Then you had three teams with a 6% chance of landing numero uno in Washington, Memphis, and ding, 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 New Orleans. Yes, the New Orleans Pelicans had a 6% chance of landing the number one overall pick. And boom, went the dynamite. They have the number one overall pick in this summer's NBA draft lottery. After 6%, you had Minnesota at 3%, the LA Lakers at 2%, which is, again, we talked about that huge jump in the headliners, right? 2% chance of the Lakers landing the number one overall pick. And they actually get booted up to the top four. That's amazing. Charlotte at 1%, Miami at 1%, Sacramento at 1%. And neither one of Charlotte, Miami, or Sacramento will be picking in the top four. That's amazing. That's amazing, right? 6% chance for New Orleans, and they come through with it. So, first point, when it comes to New Orleans landing this number one overall pick, there's mixed emotions. NBA basketball fans out there really want it. I can't even lie. Not even going to front with you guys. I'm a big NBA guy, and I remember when it first came on, you know, prior to tip time of the Rockets and Warriors, I was sitting there saying to myself, wow, would this be big for basketball if Zion Williamson, the biggest basketball prospect since LeBron James, if Zion gets drafted to a city that is what many people consider to be the mecca of hoops in New York, going to a franchise that has been so bad in the 2000s era. Zion could be that savior. New York Knicks fans were sitting there at bars. They had cameras set up. They were ready. I even saw a woman who I'm sure she's trying to go through her mind right now how she's going to get this off of her ankle. But she had a Zion tattoo framed in the New York Knicks logo kind of way.
Are you serious?
I kid you not, Alec. This went viral. Just look it up. Yeah, she got a tattoo. It says Zion. You know how the Knicks logo kind of curves around a basketball? It said Zion instead of Knicks, and then the basketball in the center. So she got a tattoo with that. This is how big, this is how crazy New York fans are. This is what they wanted. I thought this was going to happen. Before we left the air yesterday, Alec, I said that the Knicks are going to get this pick. I wanted to see that. And apparently Zion did too. These are rumors, but I'm reading these from some pretty big publications out there that say when Zion saw New Orleans get the number one overall pick, he was visibly disturbed and walked out the room for a second. Then he came back and processed everything. But reports out there are saying that Zion was ready to go to New York, was ready to be the savior of the New York Knicks. So he goes to the Pelicans, and in an ode to my former engineer, Isaac Constance, who's from New Orleans. He is the biggest Pelicans fan I've ever met in my life. There aren't many because New Orleans is not an NBA city. It's a football city. It's an NFL city. They love the Saints. Who that nation, right? They love the LSU Tigers. They go crazy for the purple and gold out there. But as far as the Pelicans go, still a relatively new franchise with no history. But, you know, Isaac Constance, my former engineer, as you guys know, he's diehard NBA, and he roots for his hometown, and he loves the Pelicans. So, is this bad for the NBA? No. At the end of the day, Zion Williamson is still going to be a huge face in the National Basketball Association, despite the fact that he is not playing in a major market, i.e. New York. And heck, when you look at the NBA today, the NBA is proving that you don't have to play for a major market to be a marketable player who brings in a lot of dough. Zion Williamson is going to bring in a lot of dough regardless because he is an absolute freak. He's, again, the biggest prospect. I'm going to keep hammering this home. The biggest prospect since LeBron James. You know, he's got all these shoe companies after him. Advertisers are just foaming at the mouth to possibly land Zion Williamson. He's still going to make a lot of money. Now, as far as success goes in New Orleans, I don't know. It's the Pelicans. And a part of me thinks to myself, didn't we see this movie played before when it comes to Anthony Davis, who wants to be traded from the Pelicans? Does this change his mind? Will he play at least another year? Will he play out that 1 year left when his contract with the Pelicans come next season, knowing that Zion Williamson will now be a part of that roster? Sources out there are saying no. Anthony Davis is still all out on the Pelicans. So it's really gonna come down to the upper management of the Pelicans to surround Zion with some great pieces in order for him to be successful. But the fact that he's going to New Orleans, not a lot of great pieces around him there. It would be something if Anthony Davis comes back, but I don't think that's going to happen. I think he'll be a great player. He'll be an all-star in his first year. He's that kind of a talent. But as far as success in the win column, boy, I don't know how long it's going to take. I'm not that confident in the New Orleans Pelicans because again, we saw a transcendent talent in Anthony Davis, and we saw how that story played out. Another point I want to make concerning the draft lottery is, hey, I must admit, even though Zion is not going to a major market, and again, it's not like major markets are dominating in the NBA anymore. Ask the Los Angeles Lakers. Heck, ask the New York Knicks. Just look at the NBA today. I mean, Oklahoma City. Great basketball town. Not a huge city, but great basketball town. Heck, Portland. A lot of tradition there, but not a huge city. You don't have to be a big, huge market in order to have immense success in the NBA. But I like, no, scratch that. I love the new format changes to the NBA draft lottery. In order to discourage teams from tanking, and that's an eyesore for any fan out there, the league implemented this new set of lottery odds. Now, previously, the team with the worst record had a 25% chance at getting the top pick. Now, the teams with the three worst records have an equal 14% chance at the top pick, i.e. this year, the Knicks, Cavaliers, and the Suns, and neither three of those teams getting the top pick. It was New Orleans who came out with the top pick. And also, the odds give teams in the middle of the lottery a better chance at moving up into the top four spots. We saw all of that drama due to the new format come to fruition last night. And the team with the worst record used to be guaranteed to receive no worse than the fourth pick. That's because the first three picks were the only ones determined by the lottery. Now, after those picks, the remaining teams were ordered in the inverse of their regular season records. And instead, now the first four picks will be decided by the lottery draw. That's what happened last night. That means the team with the worst record will receive no worse than the fifth pick. So, I love this because it drives me crazy when I am watching, you know, NBA basketball near the end of the year, and you just see the effort of some teams out there. You just think to yourself, yeah, they're trying to tank. You just get that feeling. Maybe they're not, but it looks like it. That thought is always subconsciously in your mind. But now tanking does not guarantee that you are going to land the number one overall pick in the draft. I love the new format. I have no problem with it whatsoever. As for some drama, it promotes more competition in the league, and crazy things can happen. So, Zion Williamson is going to go to New Orleans. Whether we like it or not, basketball fans, he is going to NOLA. Let's let it sink in. All right? The number two pick will go to Ja Morant, I'm sure. And number three, you probably see the Knicks pick up R.J. Barrett, who is still a great, great talent. But for me, Alec, I don't know about you, man, but after those three, it's a crapshoot. It really is wide open. It's like it could be hit or miss when it comes to some of these draft picks out there. I could see maybe the number 10 pick being better than the number 4 or 5 pick out there. But I do believe that Williamson, Morant, and Barrett are going to be stars, are going to be studs in the league come next season. So final thoughts on the NBA draft lottery last night before we hit this first break. Alec, what did you make of last night and watching that fiasco? Are you happy that Zion Williamson is going to the Pelicans? And just how shocked are you, real quick?
When I first found out that New Orleans had the number one overall pick, I literally thought my friend was joking. Like, I was like, there's no way. Because I thought New York had it in the bag, but I didn't realize what the new lottery odds are now. So it makes a lot of sense because it's the top three are even. And I could see why the Suns got, you know, pretty much screwed the way they did, you know. And it's crazy.
Crazy, man. Crazy. I love it, though. It was fun TV. It was fun TV last night. So Zion, he's going to be the number one overall pick. He'll probably go to NOLA. What are your thoughts? 517-355-WKAR. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, Apache wants to talk about the late, great Earl Robinson. We have been paying tribute to Earl and will continue to do so throughout this week. Apache, I'm going to get to your call. And also, I'll let the cat out the bag right now. The great Tom Izzo, MSU men's basketball coach, Tom will join us after this first break as he will have thoughts. Yeah, Shazam, right? Tom will have thoughts on the late, great Earl Robinson as well. That and more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Just started my thoughts on the NBA draft lottery. A few of your comments are coming in on our Facebook page. We're going to get to a few of those comments later on, but I do want to go to our phone lines right now, and I want to go to line one as we have Apachu, who's been waiting oh so patiently to give thoughts on the unfortunate passing of Earl Robinson. Apachu, welcome to Current Sports.
Thank you, Al. I really appreciate it. Man, I tell you what, it wasn't the jazz program that I paid attention to, but it was the closing. And the thing that blew my mind at the end was when he said, do what you can for the white man, which was very, very radical at the time, at that time and space. The other thing is I would challenge the idea that he was a pioneer. Our brother was a revolutionary. He had the right balance of push and pull in a situation where he had to navigate. A lot of the freedoms you got today, brother, are because of Earl Robinson. He broke that ice along the way, and you're going to break some ice too. And that's why I continuously say I really appreciate the administration, whoever's in charge, or the oversight for you that allow you a lot of freedom. Earl didn't have that kind of freedom, and maybe he wasn't comfortable at the time with that kind of freedom. But that was the landscape at the time. But I listened to him when he was with riding shotgun with Jim.
Yeah, Jim
and
Adams.
After Jim left, a very famous sportscaster said, and I ain't gonna say no names, said that Earl Robinson would not last a week without Jim. He's in the Hall of Fame. Okay.
Yep.
So get down, Earl. The other thing I want to say is that the education I got about football and basketball, I would not have gotten had I not been listening to WKR in general and Earl Robinson in particular. It makes this football and basketball so satisfying for me because of what I've learned over the years, the insight that I've been given through this program. And Earl, my thing for a while was boxing. And I knew my boxing. I participate in boxing. I coach. I've done it all. And Earl had a lot of insight. He was very strong in that area, and I was really impressed with his knowledge of boxing. The other thing is that Earl brought world-renowned personalities to the program, and I was able to talk to, for example, Archie Griffin. Okay, another person I was able to talk to was Bert Sugarman, if I remember his name correctly, the journalist writer for boxing.
Yeah. Yep.
And then there was another receiver, which I saw one of the greatest games ever. He played for San Diego Chargers. It was called Eric Coryell. Greatest receiving game I ever seen. And I was able to talk to him on the radio because it was facilitated by Earl. Earl had an incredible ability to pull in some great, great personalities. And one of the last things was that there was a caller who would call on occasion, and his name was Dennis. Dennis had an incredible knowledge of basketball and football. And eventually we made contact and we became very good friends and are still good friends today. And I owe that all to WKR and Earl Robinson. So I just want to say thank you, Earl. You know, you've been good to us. I really appreciate it. And I want to thank WKR because you got a hell of a program. That's why I said they need to have you guys 24 hours on the clock, but you got to get some sleep.
Got to get some rest from time to time, right? And, thank you for those words, Apachu.
Yeah,
because you know what?
So anyway,
also,
brother,
and I don't know if you tune into Monday's show.
No, I didn't. This is the first time I've been able to get on the phone.
Well, I may have to contact you later, man, because Monday's show we really dove into with Jag Ebling, and we had our very own Scott Pohl as well here, and we talked about how Earl wasn't afraid to share the black experience, of course, his experience. And Jack Ebling and Scott Pohl talked about how Earl from time to time would talk about how he would get pulled over here in the area driving while black. And he would share those stories on the air. He wasn't afraid to talk about those stories because he felt like they were important. We also played a piece that he did on Malcolm X here in the Lansing area, and how he was a big X fan and trying to educate his listeners on Malcolm and his ways. So Earl was a pioneer in so many different areas, Pachu, and I'm just blessed that I got a chance to. I was the one to follow in his footsteps, so to speak. So.
Yeah, but you know what, man? You're doing some radical stuff too, brother, and I appreciate the fact that they give you some leeway. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely, definitely.
Because if you get too radical, you might be working for me, man. You do some ladder work.
All right, I hear you, Pachu. All right, brother.
Take care, brother.
Thank you, man. I love Pachu. Pachu's one of my favorite callers that we've ever had in current sports history. So. I think we're working on Tom Izzo right now. He's taking another phone call right now, but we in just a moment we'll get the thoughts from Tom Izzo on the late great Earl Robinson. Those two were close, and Earl was one of the first reporters to cover Tom Izzo here at Michigan State University, and I told the story yesterday how. On Monday, I just, I couldn't sleep. And to be honest, I think it's still heavy on my mind that Earl is gone. And I'm a night owl anyway, but, I tried to go to sleep on Monday night early, and I just couldn't. So, I got up and went to the gym, of course. That's what I do. that's my release. And, I stopped back at the station because I had to submit a morning report anyway. I planned on waking up crazy early and just getting it in. But, I was at the gym. I'm like, why not? I'm already up. So I stopped by the station and I walked into Earl's old AM studio. And much love to Fred Heumann from WLNS TV6 because they were, him and Audrey Dahlgren, they were here to cover Monday's show, and they put it on their airwaves as well. And they interviewed me about, Earl's legacy and so on and so forth. And, I saw, Fred has all this old footage. You know, that's something I would tease Fred about when I was working back at WLNS TV6. But he has footage on everybody and everything. It's crazy. So, when I saw him air a tribute to Earl Robinson that night on the news, there was a photo, well, excuse me, video, of Earl and Jim Adams on the air together. Vintage footage, right? And I noticed in the background there was a bookcase. And I'm like, wow, that bookcase looks very familiar. And it's in the AM studio. I mean, that studio was literally about probably like 30 steps to the left when I walk out the door here at Studio S. So that night, Monday night, when I couldn't sleep, man, I went into that studio and turned on the lights. Pretty eerie feeling, right? And, I got a bit of nostalgia, without a doubt. And I looked to the left, and there was that bookcase that was in the shot of Earl Robinson and Jim Adams. So I walked over to it, and I shared this yesterday, and there's all of these books. All of the, Apache just talked about the sports knowledge that Earl Robinson had. I mean, the man was a Heisman Trophy voter. Don't know if you guys know that. And yes, he was also a Hall of Famer. He's inducted into the Michigan Sports Hall of Fame. But I walked over to that bookcase, and you see why Earl was so knowledgeable. He had books and almanacs in the world of baseball and basketball. He had these media guides, and I read the bio of Tom Izzo's second season as an assistant. Excuse me, under Judd Heathcote, right? I mean, all of these media guides from back in the day are on that bookcase. And I started to pick it up and go through those, right? And it, just amazing. And a few of them had notes written in them. And you could just tell that these were the books that Earl was studying. This was his homework. And this is the knowledge, part of the knowledge that he was bringing to the air every day. At 1 p.m. The life and legacy of Earl Robinson, it sure is something. Alec, can we hit our first break, if that is possible? Is Alec there? I know, because I know you're on the phone right now. Is it possible for us to hit a first break right now? Let's hit our first break. We come back, and hopefully we get to Tom Izzo. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. You know, we had Tom, and then he had to take another call, so we're on hold right now with Tom Izzo. And we hopefully, you know, we'll get him on before the end of the hour, and Alec will give me the thumbs up when we do get him. Until then, though, I want to read a few comments coming in on our Facebook page. Ben says, happy birthday, Alec. So Ben says, happy birthday, Alec. Alec gives the thumbs up. Mike says, oh, I remember 22. Happy B-Day, Alec. And, you know, 22 is, you know, not to rain on Alec's parade, but it's like, you know, when you hit 21, when you turn 21, that's like the age, right? That's like, oh, man, I'm turning 21. You can finally go out and buy a pop, right? You can buy a soda at 21, finally, right? And then after that, it's like, okay, what do I look forward to now? It's like, all right, 25. When I can finally rent a car. And I still, for the life of me, I don't understand why you have to wait until you're 25 in order to rent a car. So I guess that's like the only thing you got forward to look forward
to. I get to look forward to that now.
Yeah, you
get
can rent a car.
Enterprise or something.
And there you go.
On my 25th.
There you go. That's exciting, right? No. It's just like 21 is like, yeah. And it's like, okay, I just keep getting older now. So, yeah, 22. Happy birthday, Alex. So thank you for everybody chiming in. And, wishing Alec a happy birthday. Ben also says we will be going to the Tigers game on Sunday with our Detroit Tigers Bad Bowlers League. And is that really the name? Bad Bowlers League? I hope you guys are good bowlers, though. Good bowlers, not bad bowlers. And we will be riding the travel bus to the game and back. The Tigers play the Oakland A's on Sunday. That is awesome stuff, Ben. That is great stuff. Enjoy that, my man. And then we have Mike saying the NBA draft could copy the Powerball lottery number selection process. That's what I'm saying, Mike. I'm with you, man. I think that it would be really cool if they brought in, you know, the ping pong ball machine and just did it live and just, you know, crank that baby on each pick, and it would just add to the drama. Maybe add some really dramatic music while each pick is going on, right? While you're turning that thing and watching the ping pong balls just kind of, you know, cipher through. So that would be awesome. Yeah, I think they could really add to that that drama. Also, that totally shocked me that the Pelicans got the draft lottery pick. The question now is, does Anthony Davis stay in New Orleans now that the Pelicans will have the number one pick and will land Zion Williamson? I don't believe so. Reports that I'm reading, as I stated, Ben, it looks as though Anthony Davis still wants out. I mean, this is a guy who wore like a T-shirt, right, near the end of the season saying, yeah, this is it. I forget what the T-shirt said, but it was basically saying, yeah, I'm done. You know, on to the next chapter or something like that. So he's out. He's out. So we'll see. I mean, you know, and I even heard some people who are really up in arms about, you know, New Orleans landing the number one overall pick. And if you look back at the footage, and I tried to downplay it. You know, my stepdad, we were chatting. We were texting back and forth. You know, when the draft lottery happened, and he shot me a text and he said, Al, Zion didn't look too happy about New Orleans. And I'm sitting there saying, well, he was just kind of in shock, you know, because none of us thought that the Pelicans were going to get that number one overall pick. So I just chalked it up as shock from Zion Williamson. But looking back, I guess there is a video of Zion, a video of his face last night after the pick was announced, and he did look kind of like, huh, you know, like confused, maybe a tad bit, maybe a dash of anger. I don't know. Again, this is what we do on sports talk shows, right? We try to dive in and dissect and make a big deal out of stuff. But his reaction, I'll just say this, his reaction was not joyful Can we say that? Can we agree with that? It's not like Zion Williamson was jumping up and down and slapping high fives and, woo, I'm going to NOLA, baby. Wasn't like that. So, yeah. Again, I don't want to read too much into it, but again, did I read reports out there that Zion, you know, that he walked out of the room and then came back in the room to collect himself? So, yeah, I don't want to be that guy, but I'm just passing the information to you guys. At the end of the day, Zion, he's a class act. He's a great kid, great smile. At the end of the day, he's going to bust his tail for whoever he plays with. But I do believe that his hearts maybe were set on balling out for a major city like the New York Knicks. Okay, so, Alec, we don't have time, right? Boy, you know what? I should have just pulled the trigger when we got him online. Before we hit that first break, I should have just went to him. He's a busy man. And, you know, Tom Izzo is going, well, he was going to comment on the late, great Earl Robinson. We plan on, we'll get him another day. Gosh, we'll get him.
He said he's going to shoot for tomorrow. Hopefully tomorrow, 1:30.
Well, tomorrow, and again, I'm announcing this right now, I will be out the rest of the week. So tomorrow doesn't work. Friday doesn't work. I'll be back on Monday. So, yeah, we'll try to get Tom back on Monday. But I know that, you know, Tom and Earl, they went back. They went back, man. They played, you know, pickup basketball with each other, and Tom's got some stories, which he will share. So maybe it was a recruiting call. You think it was a recruiting call? And, you know, we debated this, Alec, because this is the thing about John B. And I made this point about John Beilein yesterday. You know, the life of a college coach, man, it's man, I don't know. When does Tom Izzo sleep? You know, Pachu made the joke, oh, Al, you should be on 24-7, man, and when would you get some sleep? I tell you what, college coaches, that job is a 24-7, 365 job. And that's why I'm like, oh, if we get Izzo, we got to, like, okay, you know, we make use of that time, because you're always recruiting. You know, maybe it was a phone call to a recruit, or who knows. But I get why John Beilein left. Because it's, you know, you get to a point, he's 66 years old. It's like, all right, I'm choosing comfort. I get 3 months off. I don't have to be on the road all the time. So, yeah, but we'll shoot to get Tom Izzo on Monday. So,
I mean, with the volume of calls he has, I can see why, like, that would be so stressful. Like, I had to go through two people just to get to him.
It's crazy, man. It's crazy. So, that's the life of a college coach, man. You know, Izzo is always working. But I appreciate him calling in. We had him for a second, and you know, I promise we'll get to him later on. So with about 5 minutes left, I do want to comment on the PGA Championship, because, you know, this is the next tournament for Eldrick, for Tiger Woods. And, you know, Tiger just won the Masters. He's been riding high on that. I believe that it is the greatest comeback in sports history, what Tiger Woods did. And, you know, I was it's such a big accomplishment. I was watching the Steve Harvey Show on YouTube yesterday, and he had what's his name? Alfonso, The guy who played Carlton in Fresh Prince. You know what I'm talking about, Alec. Did you watch? Are you too old for Fresh Prince? Or you watch? Did you
No, I've watch seen Fresh Prince.
Okay, good. I'm just making sure. I was about to say, man.
One of my favorite scenes ever was, like, in terms of, like, acting, like, with Will Smith, was when, like, him and his uncle went over about his dad.
Right.
That's one of the
best
that's
scenes. That's one of the best acting scenes in Will Smith's career. But Alfonso Ribeiro plays Carlton. He had him as his guest on the show. Alfonso hosts America's Funniest Home Videos. But anyway, Steve Harvey and Alfonso are sitting down, and I guess Alfonso is a huge golfer. He's a huge golf fan. And, you know, they talk about Tiger, and they bring up a huge picture of Tiger Woods celebrating the Masters. And both Steve and Alfonso admitted that they shed a tear while watching what Tiger Woods did in the Masters at Augusta to win another green jacket after everything that he has gone through. That's the kind of impact that Tiger Woods had in that moment, and that's the kind of impact that he has on the sport. So, and I think Tiger will catch Jack now. I did not think that Tiger would have this kind of comeback. Again, greatest comeback in sports history. And, you know, if he does win this weekend in New York, he will accomplish, you know, a feat that he has not done since 2006, and that is winning back-to-back majors. So he's got 15 career majors. He's, of course, chasing the legendary Jack Nicklaus mark of 18. I'm convinced now that if he stays healthy, if he stays in this state of health that he is in right now, I think he can catch Jack. And the key to Tiger winning this weekend, and I believe and I'll be waking up early. This is how crazy of a Tiger Woods fan I am. You know, his tee time is at like 8:24. I usually wake up around like an hour before Tiger tees off just to get myself mentally ready for him starting a round. That's how crazy of a fan. That's how sick of a Tiger Woods fan I am. So I'll be up early getting ready for Tiger's start to the PGA Championship at Bethpage Black out in New York starting tomorrow morning. And I can't wait to watch it. But I think Tiger has a legit shot. He's got a legit shot. And you can make this case. This thing about golf, too. You can make this case for a lot of different golfers out there. You know, probably like 30 to 40 different golfers out there when it comes to winning a major. But this will be a test. You know, even if Tiger doesn't win this weekend, if he gets close, then it will just further convince me that he can and will catch Jack Nicklaus. That coveted 18, that 18 number that that Jack has. So, again, Woods officially tees off at 8:24. Get your popcorn ready. Get your popcorn ready. I'm curious to see what the ratings are going to be as well. All right. We bid you all adieu. Again, I am out on Thursday and Friday. Again, happy birthday to Alec Rio. 22, baby. 22. We'll see you live next week, Monday. We'll have encore presentations of the show on Thursday and Friday. Tomorrow, I plan on rerunning the Earl Robinson tribute show. So if you missed it, you'll get a chance to hear that tomorrow at 1 p.m. Until next week, folks, have a great one. And as always, be easy, people.